Llegó Black Friday a JCPenney. Ahorra en miles de ofertas por toda la tienda y en jcp.com. ¿Lo necesitas ya? Aprovecha y entrega tu auto gratis y obtén los mejores ahorros con tu cupón de 30% de descuento extra. Úsalo y llévate selección de ropa de invierno para todos a solo $19.99. O ahorra hasta 80% en toda la joyería fina. Juntos en celebración y paz. JCPenney. Ofertas válidas del 23 al 28 de noviembre. Aplican condiciones y exclusiones. Detalles en la tienda jcp.com.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody around the world and throughout the United States. The Chuck Bartok here for the 479th episode of You Can Build It, Your Business. A call-in talk show that was started many years ago on the premise we had a large community of people who wanted to build or start their own business, regardless of what it is. And those over the years, some of the episodes got lost. I'm sorry, about 100 of them. But the episodes can easily be found on iTunes. If you go to iTunes podcasting and type in You Can Build It, they're all available there, those that we didn't lose. And then also on my own website, chuckbartok.com, you can just type in the top there or look in the top navigation bar, the You Can Build It podcast. And hey, recent episodes are there. So that's available to people, and that's why we're here. Now, over the years, what's happened is I kind of changed my direction, which blends into today's show, and have been working primarily with people who write books, paintings, and write poems, and want to market their product and find homes for them, sell them. Why not? Gee, many Christmas. We can give a lot of things away. The more we give, the more we get. But there's nothing wrong with a person who's gone to the trouble of writing and publishing a book to have it sold. And in today's marketplace, it's a little different than what it used to be. So that's what this show has been focusing on over the last few years, and that is book marketing. We're joined today by Lou McIntyre. Is Karen with you also, sir?
I certainly am.
Well, we got Lou and Karen McIntyre in Maryland, Nancy Lou Henderson in Sweeney, Texas, and Amy Bovard. Amy is in Erie, Pennsylvania. Is that correct, Amy? All right. See, I'm getting better. I'm getting smarter in my old age. And those of you that received an invitation to the show, and one of the things when it says, what's the show going to be about? I said, wow, the internet. I briefly touched on this with Nancy. I have been providing content for the internet since 2004. So just because it's something to do and I'm not going to say lucrative, but it provided steady streams of income over those years. And there's just an awful lot of content attached to me through mailing lists, websites, and things of that nature. Now, everything changes. As we all know, we're in a state of flux. The world is in a state of flux. Climate change, you know, the climate changes all the time. It's been going on for eons. People change. We get older. We get more frail. We lose some abilities. People's websites go away. Those people who were outstanding network marketers, internet gurus 7 years ago are stone broke and maybe living under the bridge. But they had websites, and of course, they didn't renew their URLs. And therefore, if you find their URL and somebody clicks on it, it goes nowhere. That's what happened to Chuck. What I did is, this was in conjunction with our Focus Society of Overachievers talk show. I provided the book Think and Grow Rich in an audio form that someone would sign up for an email sent to them every 2 days. And in that email was a downloadable MP3 file of each chapter of Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich narrated. We also have a workbook to go along with and so on. Well, back in the day, those emails, they always had the chapter in it, but I would maybe share, let's just use Nancy for an example, or Lou. I would share something about Lou's book. You know, I'd say, by the way, I just blah, 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 blah. And there'd be a link to Lou's website. I did this 10 years ago, guys. And people from around the world, I think there's about 3,000 original subscribers to this list. Now, I got to bear in mind, I only promised to send them those chapters. I did not promise any other sales material or things of that nature. In other words, they were going to get the chapters and then some follow-up emails. Well, a young man on Facebook today, friend of Willie Crawford. Willie was talking about Think and Grow Rich because he and I share an affinity. That's actually how we met many years ago, to Think and Grow Rich and the Master Key and the Miracle of Right Thought. And this young man said, well, where can I learn more? And I said, well, if you sign up for my email, you'll get an audio version of Think and Grow Rich every 2 days, a chapter, a new chapter. And he said, fine. Of course, the first thing he says, the link doesn't work. Oh, that's cool, huh? Really makes me look good in public on Facebook. So I went back into that email list, of which there are 25 emails. And the majority of the links that I had shared back in the day were no good. So that's what I've spent the day doing, is updating that list. What's the lesson I learned? The internet is a constantly changing environment. The internet is full of people. And people who are very famous today may not be very famous tomorrow. An example of that, I remember we had a huge marketing, seminar or conference in San Francisco back in 2011 or 12. And another young man from Sacramento and I drove there, and we were hobnobbing with there people globally there from England and Europe and here in the United States. And there was one young man whose claim to fame at that time was he was the first person on the internet to generate $1 million in income in a month because of what it is he sold and how he marketed it. So he was a big, you know, everybody wanted to follow him around. What was interesting, this is a sideline, it's kind of tragic. He was stone broke. He forgot all about quarterly taxes. He forgot about this. He forgot about that. He generated $1 million, but unfortunately it was not used properly, and he wasn't taking care of business. He was making a lot of money, but not taking care of business. So the main point of the show today is those of you who do have websites, those of you who in your blog posts, I may have Lou McIntyre's website on my blog post because I consider Lou an outstanding example of what I was talking about. But unbeknownst to me, next month, Lou didn't pay his hosting, you see. So, this sounds like a ponderous thing, but on websites, there is a free plugin, and you know, free is good, that's called the Broken Link Checker. And if you upload, if you have a WordPress website and put the Broken Link Checker up there, now this is for websites, not email lists and the emails that you send out. You can go there once a week, look at the Broken Link Checker plugin, and it lists all of the URLs that you have used on your website that are no longer any good. And it's highly suggested that you go in and edit that blog post that has the bad link. Because on the internet, people are fickle. And if you're really doing a great job, you're a wonderful author, and you're giving things to people, of course, our ultimate goal is hopefully maybe we'll sell a book or two once a week or once or twice a week. You lose credibility I don't know why, but you lose credibility, which ties into what Nancy, you received some books that had some errors in them, correct?
Yes. Today I had a 4,000 words story in the Wordsmith Chronicles, and it came out. Actually, the ebook is still won't be until December 1st, but they put out the paperback, and actually, I think the paging, the numbering is off. I noticed it because it said mine was on 145. When I looked, it was on 147. So right. It's kind of, you know, that doesn't bother me. Of course, that made the contents off. But I think one lady's name, she must have called it to his attention. Anyway, they pulled the book and they're redoing it. But I've already ordered 6 and it doesn't affect. It doesn't bother me. Right. You know what I mean? I'm sure there's something on every book that you wish wasn't there sometimes.
And but, there's something on every website, you know, every website.
Right, right. And so nothing's perfect. And I buy mine and then I buy some for family. So I'll send them out like they are. I put them there. I usually sign my name. I mean, it didn't take me a second to find out that it was on page 147 instead of 145, you know. You know, there's people that really, I'm sure the gentleman who puts that out, it's over that group, is having because he's a perfectionist, and I know that he's just jumping up and down going nuts. But I had gotten one like that from Carmen that it was up to order. I ordered it, and after I ordered it, they took it down and changed. There was a yellow stripe on the front of the cover for some reason. And so when they pulled it down, mine was already on going, coming, you know, to me. Yeah. So I got it, but it was one of a kind. And I told her, and she says, man, you've got a one of a kind book. And the first one also, you know, and I said, yeah, but you know what? I'm mailing it to you because it's your book and it should be your one of a kind book, you know, but, and she's fairly famous, but I think that it belonged to her, you know, right. And she sent me another one anyway. I ordered another one, but she sent one. I think that we have to realize not everything's perfect. And right now there's so many authors out, and sometimes Amazon makes mistakes. Ordered some books and they sent and told me that the order had been canceled, I can't remember the word they used, but in other words, they'd screwed up something and I wasn't going to get it, and I could reorder at a certain time. And I don't know if I did or not.
Yeah.
I mean, it was quick. They got those books here quick. I think I ordered them Friday or Thursday and they came in today. So it was a quick,
That's
deal.
Interesting. On that note, you bought a book on Amazon and it's getting to you fairly quick. Let's bring up this subject. Have any authors on the call recently been ordering author books and finding out that author books are not? No. It sounds like Lou's laughing.
Very recently there, Chuck.
Pardon?
Yeah.
I didn't hear all of what you were asking about.
Authoring author orders.
Let him repeat, please.
Okay. Yes. Nancy was talking how it seemed to her how quickly when she ordered a book by another author, she received it at home. You know, it was mailed to her. Mm-hmm. And I use that to lead into the fact that many people are finding out that if authors order author copies, they're not experiencing that same goodness. Lou picked up on that because if you guys have an experience, we have an experience. I don't know about Amy, if she's had any problems, but Lou, tell us your story on author copies.
I agree with her. I ordered, let's see, we published Jake's paperback on, I believe it was Tuesday, and I ordered 20 copies or 25 copies, you know, author copies. And they said they wouldn't get here until, even with expedited shipping, which was absurd, wouldn't get here until like the 29th or 30th of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, okay, I ordered 5 copies, you know, not author copies, but right off the thing, which came in a couple of days.
Right.
And then I get, I got an email from them saying that my author copies, instead of being the 29th or 30th, are going to be here on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
No, I did that for Joanne. She was waiting on copies to come in, so I ordered one and had it shipped to her address so she would have one in hand. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of cool,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
to see.
We have.
Well, sometimes you want to just see one, you know.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead,
and,
Karen.
And we have a small vendor fair thing on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, I was... if the books didn't come till after Saturday, I was kind of like, this is not good.
Right.
And that's why I ordered the regular copies.
Right. Now, I have a question for Karen real quick. Did you intend on those books to be the same size or different sizes?
They are different sizes simply because Jake is so much bigger.
Okay.
You know,
all right.
Because if I had done a 5x8 on Jake, it would have been so thick as to be uncomfortable to hold.
Yeah, it would have been around 800 pages.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wasn't sure. I noticed they were different sizes, and I knew you were writing like a kind of a series type thing, and I wasn't sure if that was just the way they sent mine or. But anyway, they're both beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, thank
they're
you.
Beautiful.
You know, that's a good point for us to think about, Karen, and you solved a problem. Again, there are not a lot of very, very experienced authors out there. And of course, many of the people and many of us are doing self-publishing. Karen brought up a very interesting thing. We have always done 5.5x8.5 paperbacks. But one of the last books was a 600 pager. And by increasing the size of the book, you're reducing the pages.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be beneficial to you because it lowers. Well, it doesn't affect your impact. Yes, it does. It lowers your cost because of the amount of pages slightly, but it may be better received by the public. I see JC's with us. Have you had any experience personally in book size, Jerry?
I've done all of mine 5.5x8.5.
Okay.
Like you were mentioning. But I'm actually considering going to a smaller, more of the mass production size.
Oh, okay.
I'm thinking about that with my next one. I haven't decided yet.
Very good. Amy, how about your books? What sizes have you been using on your books, Amy?
I have been using 6x9, but this one with the, if they're all the same size. They're not the same width, but they're the same size.
Uh-huh.
And then like the print is for large print is a little bit larger on the spine. So I can tell the difference, and there's like a little triangle that lets me know. But with this last book that I wrote, I'm gonna make it. I'm thinking 8x5. It's like a thinner, because it's a smaller book.
Uh-huh.
So I think the smallest one that they can make, and I'm trying to figure out what that's gonna look like. But
that's right. You're using a publisher, aren't you, Amy? Pardon?
This book, I'm doing it on my own. Yeah.
Okay, you're doing this one on your own. Okay, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Because you offer large print books.
Yes.
Not, mm-hmm. I mean, and you also offer regular print books, and your market understands that they may pay a little more, not much, they may pay a little more for the large print book than they do the small, the regular size print book. And it's amazing that people understand that, because let's face it, folks, if you've got larger print, you've got more pages and so on. So, I mean, that is a consideration that's unique to your market in many ways. And here I go with a question. If a person is writing primarily to an older market, would there be any consideration of using a slightly larger font size to begin with? That's a question out to the group here. Because of eye strain, and you know, I'm bad, but yes, I am. My vision is going away also.
I think I'm going to throw in here that my mother is older and she's 92, but she uses a reader and she can increase the size of the print. When I called Amazon to ask them about doing large print of my books, you know, just for my mother and some other people, it's a whole new PDF you've got to download. They don't just increase it. It's a whole another thing. But, you know, with the equipment that people have now, unless they want to hold a book, but Mom didn't have any trouble reading mine. But, you know, like I said, she's not, her eyes are still pretty good. But when she does, she does use a reader that she can increase that on. And my brother did the same because his eyesight's really bad and from Agent Orange. So he bought them on Kindle and Kindle to read them because of the font and to increase it. So I think it would be good to probably do that. If you start off that way, why not? You know.
Well, I mean, these are ideas that it really now, it may not be, if you're writing a dystopian novel about, I don't know what that means, but if you're writing a zombie apocalypse book, that may not be an issue. But again, it depends on your market, what your market, your average age of your market, and so on. That may make a determining factor on how you self-publish your book. And yes, Amy's right. You just, you've got to send them a different PDF. And that's where a lot of self, self-publishing authors stop because it gets more complicated down in the weeds. Is anybody other than Amy using varying type sizes and so on the printed books? We know the advantage of ebooks. One of the reasons I like ebooks is that I can sit there with my reader and enhance it. And how about anything from Jerry, Karen, or Lou?
That's why I use a Kindle.
Okay, very good. All right. That reminds me, for those, I know this group is aware of the fact, my associate has been pleasantly surprised with the amount of ebooks that he sells direct from his website, which represent a 97% profit margin because there's nobody else involved. The 3% goes to PayPal. And we're seeing, again, an older market, we're seeing those people who love the instant gratification. They can't get it autographed, unfortunately. But we're seeing an uptick in EPUB and .mobi sales. I'm wondering if anybody else is having that experience.
I can't say that I have, but then mine are primarily for a younger audience.
Okay.
Although the funny thing is I'm selling more to adults than I am to kids.
Yeah.
but then 55% of all YA books are sold to adults
right.
for their own use. But now, because of that, I haven't really done anything with it. Now, on Rotund Roland, I did do it in 14 point rather than 12 point. And I got some good feedback on that, that people liked it because it was easier for reading.
Very good.
But then I use Garamond rather than Times New Roman, which is a little bit smaller font because it's non-serif. I don't know. I may stick with 14. I haven't decided just because of the feedback that I did get on Roland.
And what do you think, just with your experience doing it yourself, let's say we have a book that's 100 pages long with 14 or 12 point. What do you think? We'd have like 105 pages with 14 point. Yeah. It wouldn't change it dramatically,
maybe.
Would it?
No, yeah. And if you're talking 100 pages, it's not going to change your cost any either.
Okay. Well,
because at that figure, now until you get up, I forget what the break is. I think it's 150, something like that. And after you get past that point, then the cost starts going up per page. Below that point, you're at a fixed cost.
Fixed cost. Very good. Go ahead.
I have no idea what size mine are, but I'm looking at one of them here, and the typing is really easy to read. I didn't set these up. Tommy did.
I know. I'll bet you I have a PDF of one of your books. Hold on, Nancy. I'm going to see if I could find it.
But does it show the type?
I think I might have the document, you know.
Yeah.
I got to find you, Ned. Well, maybe I'll look later. But it is, I think Tony uses 14.
I think so too, because this is not 12. That's probably why I've never heard anyone say anything about the size of the print, because it is big enough to read, you know. But I don't know, you know, Amazon didn't tell me that you had to have a different PDF. Maybe you have to go into that PDF and make sure that it's all at a different size. I don't know. I don't know if they make it into a larger print or you do.
Nancy, you got to do that. Basically, you go in, your work master is probably in Word, and you just change all of the text to whatever font you want in Word, and then you export that as a PDF, and that's what you upload.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So you'd have to know what large print really was then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Large print is 18.
Is it 18? Okay.
Yeah.
18. Yeah.
Okay.
And yours looks like 14. So I just pulled it up on Amazon.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it mine or yours?
No, yours looks like 14.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That seems to be, I know I have a hard time typing with 12, so I always bump mine up when I'm typing. I want to see without my glasses on, so I can see both front, down and up.
I did the same thing on Roland, and then I forgot to make it smaller when I sent it in, but then it's short enough that it didn't make any difference on the cost, so I just left it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that is another thing for all of us to remember, is the costs are not necessarily per page. It's in groups of, if that's a better way to say it. You know, it's in parameters. They have parameters.
I was going to tell you something else, Chuck, is on my Arthur Central page.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to go up there, and if you have something, there are three books that I have articles or something in that were published by Sweetie. I was allowed to add them because I'm a contributor onto my author page.
Right, onto your author
you
page.
Have to
That's
call.
Correct.
Yeah, you have to call, but it's a good I mean, it just gives you more stuff up there. It's mm-hmm. it's and it helps sell those too.
In the second reel up.
Very good. Very good. Okay, the we have 202 with us. That must be Gerara's here. Is that correct? Are you there, Gerara D. King? Is that you in the 202 area code? Well, he's silent. Well, one of the things, again, just I'm going to have to cut it a little short today because, it's just the way things happen. I haven't been paying much attention to my wife because I was taking care of my website and email problems. Again, going back to the topic, it's important for all of us to stay on top of our email campaigns, making sure that all links are up to date because people come and go, and also on our websites when we refer people to other articles, we refer them to, you know, just make them sure. And the free plugin for me works well on the website side of it called Broken Links or Broken Link Checker. And you can just go to plugins and put that in the search bar. It's a free plugin and it works quite well. What do you do when the link is broken? Well, I click on the link and see what it takes me to. And it's typically as site no longer exists or the domain is on hold somewhere. So what I do is I go back into the article and unlink it. I may still leave the title of the book or the title of whatever it is in the context because I put it in there for a reason, but I just unlink it. So Broken Link Checker could be a helpful plugin for those that do use a website on the internet. There was one other issue on that now they completely left me. But I said, is that you, Gerara? We'll ask you one more time. Is that you, buddy? If anybody is interested, since I started the show off talking about this, I'll make a plug for Chuck Bartok right now. This is a freebie, not something that's going to get me rich. On my website, chuckbartok.com, I can send you the link if anybody's interested, but I did put on that one the sign up form for the Napoleon Hill complete narrated Napoleon Hill. Gerara would remember that because we spent a lot of time on that years ago. And, doesn't cost, there's no hidden fees or anything else. It's just every 2 days you will get an email to your address, which is an MP3. There's an MP3 file that you can download to your hard drive, to your telephone, however you do it. And you can have Think and Grow Rich available to you in an audio form. And I don't know, if you're interested, you might as well take advantage of it. Because now you'll be getting the updated email system that I spent all day fixing. Napoleon Hill, just a quick sidelight, I was privileged to be assigned reading as a freshman in college. Three books. And the three books were The Miracle of Right Thought by Orison Swett Marden. It was in the late 1800s. Charles Hennell's The Master Key. In the early teens, and Napoleon Hill was mentored through the writing of Charles Hennell, The Master Key. In fact, one of my favorite things is the letter that Napoleon Hill wrote to Charles Hennell in 1919, thanking him for week 4 of Hennell's training. Hill attributed directly a $119,000 consulting contract. This is the day before taxes. Directly from what he was inspired by week 4 of the Master Key. Those three books altered my life as a young man. I was 17 years old, a freshman in college. I kind of used them to design my own life plan. And over the years, now that the internet's here, when I first came on the internet, I give these books away free in PDF form, perfectly legal since they're all public domain. So that's also on my website in the About page, Chuck Bartok About. But I can't refine my link to the signing up for the free audios. But that's beside the point. If anybody's interested, let me know. Just drop me an email, chuck@chuckbartok.com. If you're not interested, don't waste your time. But a lot of people over the years have enjoyed that situation. So anyway, anybody else want to chime in? What's new and happening? And I don't know how earth shattering today's show was.
One of my stories is coming out in a book called 40 Inspirational True Stories. So it's called Dreams, Dolphins. It's Dreams, Drama, and Dolphins. That's out right now. It just came out like the end of last week.
So that's in an anthology, Amy?
Yes, 40 stories.
Okay. So how would we find that book to get a hold of your portion of it?
It's an ebook now. It's coming out as a print book on the 5th of December.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But where do we go to find the ebook?
I'll post a link on my page.
You did? Okay. Okay. On your Facebook page, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, are you going to put that that ebook available on your website also?
Yeah. Well, I don't get any money for it, you know.
Well, I understand.
But yeah. I understand. Yeah. But yes, I could maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just to let people know that it's being published in there.
Okay, now is this I'm on your website. I mean, I'm on your Facebook page. Did you put it on your Facebook page or on your profile?
I haven't put it on yet, but I will.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you did. I'm sorry. So I'll wait for it and look forward to getting it and follow through. All right. Very good. Uh-huh. Okay. Anybody else with any good news?
Posted another Facebook post and had no problems with it this time. So I guess the thought police have gone to sleep.
Okay, very good, Jerry. You were sharing something.
I was just asking Amy where on Facebook, where do I find you?
Yeah, that would be on my Amy Bovaird author page.
It's Bovaird, Amy Bovaird author.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't have a real good connection today, and I wasn't catching all of it. So, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I friended you on there, so I can be sure to catch that. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, okay, great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So we also know that Nancy is in 10,000 anthologies now. She's getting her short stories published in a rapid way. Just all you have to do is go to Nancy Henderson, Nancy Lou Henderson on Facebook, or Nancy Blakely Henderson for her profile, and she will share with you all that great stuff. And again, we want to mention Karen McIntyre's brand new book, Jake, J-A-K-E. Is available on Amazon, is that correct?
That is correct. Kindle and paperback.
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Very good.
I get that, yeah.
And this, here's a big plug that's important, and this is more for not just the six or seven of us, but for the public that listens to this. It's worth your while to stop by jlcallison.com, C-A-L-L-I-S-O-N.com. Scroll down his front page and be sure to order your copy. I believe it's both hardback and paperback of Mouse in the House, comma, For the Love of Peanut Butter. This is colon. Pardon?
That's a colon, not a comma.
Mouse in the House, colon, for the love of peanut butter. All right. Thank you, Jerry. But anyway, it's there, both hardback and this. I'll tell you what, I have 7 great-granddaughters, and they're all approximately, you know, they're from 3 to 8 now. So they're all a nice gaggle of girls. And they love this book. They just tear it apart. You know, they come over. Oh, I'm going to go read the Mouse in the House. Because the older girls, Avery and Juliet, are the big grown-up ladies. And they're 7 and 8 years old. And they read to, I think, Presley's 4 now. Presley's reading, but not as well as yet. Anyway, they love the illustrations by Donna Setterlin. And they love the flow of the words. Written by our own J.L. Callison. So, Mouse in the House. And by the way, that type is fairly large in there also, isn't it, Jerry?
Yes, it is. I think it's 16, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
We made that bigger because it's for younger readers. I wanted it, you know, the first, second grade. They do better with larger print.
And the spacing, I don't have the book in front of me, but it seemed like it was a very easy read for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
don't blame Donna for that. Mm-hmm. She's the one that laid it out.
Oh, Donna laid it out. Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But again, everybody, great gift item, reasonably priced, valuable, and it has a good moral, very good moral. There's also another young lady who joined us, I think, for 1 or 2 calls, and her Christmas book, this is, Mouse in the House is not so much a Christmas book as it is just a great story for children and adults, has a good moral, it's faith-based, I mean, everything about it is great. Elizabeth K. Howell. Her website is the Christmas Story Bird, I think. God,
Christmas. You know, Chuck, that's the one that they told me they couldn't supply, that was damaged, and I never got. Remember when they had them on sale?
Right.
I ordered like 6. That's the one that I didn't get.
Yeah. Well, again, this is another example. We had talked earlier, and I don't want to drag this out. We had 100 books shipped to us that were wrong, a chapter missing, okay? It's a pain in the butt, folks. It really is. Plus, we ordered those as author copies. Amazon was selling them every day to people on Amazon. So you go from day 28 to, you know, I mean, you miss a chapter. Well, we've taken care of that. It's been very ponderous. It's been a pain in the neck. But let's not. The one thing that it is our responsibility also to make sure that before we release the book out, which I didn't do, I didn't order a copy. They send you the PDF, what do you call it? You look for it on your computer. Well, geez, I know the proof so well. I didn't look at the proof like a proofreader. Obviously, I missed the chapter too. But these are things, anyway, in Elizabeth's case, she has 200 books at home of the Christmas bird story. And her problem is there's a mistake in one of the illustrations. And I spent time on the phone with her and I said, you know, I don't even notice it. But so again, Nancy used the word earlier, perfection. Perfection is good. My dad always told me that those who seek perfection typically work for those who don't. That was his snide comment about how sometimes the things we obsess about are not as important as we may think they are. That doesn't mean we have to be sloppy. That doesn't mean like you have to be like Chuck, who darn near every link on his email list was wrong. That's mm-hmm. because he forgot to go in and edit. So those of us in business, and almost everybody on this call are in business, we do have to remember to take a little bit of our time and manage our business. And if your business is any way internet connected, check your URLs, check your references, and make sure that things are working the way you would think they are. Because, you know, I just blithely thought everything was cool. Well, it wasn't. Here's what hurt is where the MP3s were stored is no longer a website. You see what I mean? So what I had to do today is go to AWS, Amazon Web Services, upload every MP3 onto Amazon, which gives me a link so that I'm not storing stuff on my website. So I had to do that for 15 chapters, and that's a little bit time consuming. Anyway, so you've all learned from my mistakes. Nobody will make that mistake again, I'm sure. So I'm going to say thank you all very much for joining us for the 479th episode of You Can Build It, Your Business. The holidays are upon us. We're going to be by ourselves because our children decided not to come out from Texas for many reasons. Our other side, we won't be having any of the great granddaughters over or anything else this Thanksgiving. Shirley is doing well, but I don't think she could handle a house full the way her back is still feeling. But she's doing very well, just to let you know. So we decided we're probably going to have tacos for dinner.
There you go. That works.
Hey, all right, everybody, we hope to be back, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, next Monday, 3:30 Pacific, 6:30 Eastern. Don't forget to stop by NancyLouHenderson.com. Don't forget to stop by Amy Bovard, B-O-V-A-I-R-D, Bovard.com. Don't forget to stop by Lewis-McIntyre, and that's M-C-I-N-T-Y-R-E, and then, of course, jlcallison.com. I know that Gerard is out there.
And, oh, by the way, that's L-E-W-I-S.
Yeah, L-E-W-I-S, not L-O-U-I-S. And we have a bunch of other friends. Stop by chuckbartok.com. If you're interested in listening to past episodes, click on the link up at the top of the page that says, it just says You Can Build It podcast. And not only that, you can see little biographies of many of our callers and links to their books. You can buy them right there online. Don't have to. It's a one-stop shopping place. And I've got to add some more people. I need to add Amy. Amy, you'll have a spot there. And I've got to add several other people. Thank you all very much. We'll talk to you next week. I'm going to shut off the recording. But anybody want to stay and shoot the breeze, go ahead. Thank you.
Shop Black Friday Week Deals Sunday through Friday at Kohl's. Plus, get $15 Kohl's cash for every $50 spent. And take an extra 15% off. Get the big one throws, $8.49. Toastmaster small appliances are just $2.14 after rebate. And Fitbit Versa 2 is $129.99. Plus, take 30% off Lego, 70% off fine jewelry, and save on boots for her, $16.99. Plus, get fast and free store pickup. Shop Black Friday Week Deals at Kohl's and Kohl's.com.
Select styles. Offers valid November 22nd through the 27th. 15% off with promo code ENJOY15. Lego and Fitbit offers and coupons do not apply. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.